Welcome to the Music of America podcast, where every week we visit a different state in America and meet a different guest in the music industry. Every day, Monday through Friday, we begin in Alabama and we end in Wyoming. I'm your host, Tom Pollard. Let's talk music here on the Music of America. The Music of America podcast continues, and we wrap up our visit to South Dakota today with our guest, Scott Simpson. And we'll talk with Scott and some interesting stories about some interesting songs in just a moment. B. Normus Productions has been producing and recording music videos and music for over 20 years. After years as a performer, the owner, Van Vierhoeven, decided to get back to that which he loves the most, that's production. After tutelage under Jordan Valeria, he opened up his own place in Milliken, Colorado. High-end instruments, high-end tools, all on hand to make your sound compete with that of your favorite records. He's got one goal in mind, for you to look and sound as pro as possible. So go make some records. Go make some videos. B. Normus Productions. That's the letter B, Normus, B. Normus Productions. They're on Facebook or at www.bnormusproductions.com. So before the interview, I told this story, so I want to say it on the air. I had a band on from Oklahoma, you know, a couple of weeks ago, and I had your songs mixed in with their podcast. So in the pre-interview, I said, "Well, the songs are going to be da 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 da." Those aren't our songs, but those all sound really cool. Scott Simpson, our guest here from Spearfish. Scott, so tell us about you. You're a singer-songwriter, and what do you do when you're singing and songwriting?
Well, I've been in education for a long time. I used to teach high school. I taught college for a little while. Mm-hmm. And now I mostly travel around and work with schools and districts and help them do things a little bit better, especially when it comes to things like culture. We have a lot of Native American nations up here and trying to get some elements of culture and language into the classroom is really important. So I help them with that, among other things. It's a tough time for teachers right now, you know. We had a lot of crazy stuff with the COVID stuff, and everybody had to do weird stuff that they are not used to, and it's been stressful. So.
Because my brother lived in Farmington, New Mexico, and I always thought this was fascinating. Yeah. The population was about 165,000, but there were over 2.5 million people down in that area because they don't count in the census. They don't count the people in the reservations, we'll say with quotes, because it's the Navajo Nation. It's the Pueblo Nation.
Yeah.
So it's like a country inside the country. Is that the same across? Is that the same in South Dakota?
You know, I don't think it is. I think they count them, but you're right. It is. They have. They talk a lot about sovereignty. They are literally they're sovereign nations inside a state, and so in all reality, that's one of the reasons why if there's something a crime or something happening on one of the reservations, it's not state. It's not local. It's federal. The FBI comes in because they are a nation on the level with the U.S. Federal government. And so they had, you know, it's hard for people to understand that because they are, you know, landlocked within a state. Mm-hmm. But they are in all reality, they are really above the state and kind of outside of the state.
There's an old Val Kilmer movie called Thunderheart. Watch that.
Yes,
you'll have a better understanding.
A big bunch of it was filmed right here in South Dakota, I believe.
I'm
pretty sure about that. So
I was thinking it was. Yeah,
Was a
really good movie too, by the way. And Graham Greene, who was one of my favorite Native American actors, looks at Val Kilmer. They're on a stakeout or something. They're talking, and he looks over and he goes, "You had yourself a vision."
Really funny. Oh, Graham Greene's great.
Yeah.
I taught a little guitar for a while, but I, you know what, when it comes to music, I'm entirely self-taught. I'm a multi-instrumentalist. I play guitar. I play a number of different things. I play mandolin. I play a little four-string banjo. I ukulele, some wooden flute. And then whatever else I can get my hands on, I really enjoy bringing in a lot of different things into my studio. I've got a home studio called Dance and Moon Studio. I don't actually record hardly anybody except myself here. It's pretty much just, you know, for me.
Right.
I love instruments. When instruments get old and messed up, they come here to my studio to die. So I have instruments in disarray as well. So, you know,
I worked in pest control for about 25 years. That I used to get people's guitars that were trash bound, you know.
Yeah,
and I end up with a really, really good Dean, a really good Dean acoustic. I end up with an old Fender Bassman 100 watt head. That cost me like $18. You know.
Yeah. I see. I love that kind of stuff. I love old instruments, and I love seeing if I can make them work, if I can get some sound out of them. The one thing, you know, my wife a couple of Christmases ago bought me a bagpipe.
Oh, you're kidding.
Oh my gosh. I wish I can make noise with it. There's nothing that I've made with it that sounds like music. So I still have some work to do on that. But
that's hilarious.
Yeah.
I've always been fascinated. My kids, when they were younger, they did the play Brigadoon, and we hired at our church. And when we hired a bagpipe player, and she was phenomenal, but I was just fascinated how it's done with like your arm, your elbow, and pushing the bladder and then doing that's getting your bass tone. And then you're getting your melody out of it's just a neat instrument.
Oh, yeah. It's a really neat instrument. I hope that in a couple of years at some point I'll have it, maybe not mastered, but I'll at least be able to make some nice sounding noise with it.
So obviously it wasn't your first instrument. Was guitar where you began?
No.
Really?
Guitar is where I began. Yeah. I really started pretty early. I got the stereotypical little small size acoustic guitar when I was probably 9 or 10.
Okay.
My parents did get me some lessons, which bored me to death, and they put me in some piano lessons for a little bit, which didn't work for more than a week. I was the one thing that they bought early on, because my mom was she was getting a degree at college in teaching reading. And this was way back in the early 70s, but they bought a cassette recorder, just one of those little cheap cassette recorders, because she was recording like me trying to read when I was little and then using that for some of her classes. But she would let me record stuff. And so way early on, I was trying to write songs. And the only thing I ever wanted to do with any instrument was to play my own songs, was to write songs and play them. It's not that I didn't learn any covers. I mean, I learned, you know, some John Denver and, you know, stuff back in the 70s that everybody who's learning to play guitar learns. But I don't have a repertoire of covers at all. And I don't get out and perform a whole lot. I probably perform maybe 2 or 3 times out of the year. Most of my work is here in the studio, but I have put out over the last, since 2000, I have 40 albums and a handful of singles. And then I've got probably 2 or 3 albums that I'm working on right now. And so, I really feel like I'm more of a studio artist than anything else.
Yeah. How many songs on an album typically? Still like 12?
I usually put 10 is I've got a few with 10, but usually it's 12 to 14.
Okay.
I'm not sure why I like to keep them even. Yeah.
It's quite a body. It's quite a body of work.
It is. It's been nice because putting them out digitally, there's not a lot of overhead. I mean, I couldn't, if I was trying to put all of this on vinyl or even back when I was making CDs, that gets really expensive. Digitally, I can put it out there and maybe that's good. Maybe it's bad. I mean, maybe I'd take more time if I were putting it on vinyl, but I don't know. I care a lot about it, and I have people around the world who listen, and occasionally I get some feedback, you know.
What's the furthest reach you've got? How far have you gone? I've got a friend of mine that just gets blown away that he's got listeners that listen to him regularly. I think they're in Luxembourg or Scandinavia or something like that.
Yeah. I've had some in Russia. I've had some in India. So really literally are all around the world. I don't know how they come across it. I don't know what draws them to it. But it's kind of a nice feeling for me to sit and think, you know, somebody in Ireland, you know,
yeah,
sitting and regularly listening, you know, because I can see if they in Dublin, you know, there's like five people and they're regularly listening to something that I put out. And that's kind of cool. You know,
it's very cool. Yeah. The way this works is like it's called downloads. My analytics would call downloads, and it's only based on different IP addresses. So if you download this and play it for a friend and then play it for another friend, play it for another friend, I might have, you know, two or three listeners, but only registers the one, can only download it once from one IP address. I'm still trying to figure that whole game out. Well, your songwriting, we've talked about your songs, and you've got quite a library, and you said they're, each one of them is kind of unique or different. So let's tackle some of those, because we're going to talk about three of them anyway. First one I want to talk about is called Sister Star. Tell us about that, because it's a really interesting story.
Yeah. I've been doing some collaborative work just recently, and we'll talk about this more on one of the other songs. But I don't know if you've talked with anybody who's a Songfinch artist. They do the customized songs. I get information from people. Anyway, I will talk about that actually later. But I was doing this, and I put this out, and there's this indigenous elder here in town where I live. Sandy Swallow is her name. She's a visual artist. And she contacted me. She said, "Hey, Scott, I think I want one of those customized songs, but I want to do something a little different." And so she invited me over, and I took a look at one of her paintings. And they're not really paintings. They're collages and prints that she does. But she's been doing this for a long, long time. But she started writing some words to go with each one, because she said she wanted people who couldn't see to get a sense of the painting through the words. And she said, "But now I'm thinking, I want to turn some of these into songs. Would you work with me on that?" And I said, "Yeah, that sounds really exciting." So anyway, we did the first one, which was about horses, which is we're not listening to. But then she came and she said, "This other one, it's a story I've been trying to tell for 50 years. My sister was murdered in 1968, and I really haven't told the story, and I really haven't gotten it out there, but I think it's important, and I think it's important to bring awareness, because of, you know, right now there's this huge thing, the missing and murdered Indigenous women."
Right.
The rate of them being missing and murdered over any other demographic in our country is just unbelievable. And so anyway, we worked together to work on this song. It was just fantastic. And we put it out just not too long ago. And in fact, I just came, just before this interview, I came from chatting, sharing with the community. We kind of had a question and answer time. They wanted to hear about Sandy, and they wanted to hear about how we collaborated. So it's been great.
So she comes to you with the story, and then did you put it to music? Is that how Sister Star came about?
Well,
or did she have a melody already?
Well, here's no. She didn't have anything musical. She had some words, and I said, "You know, Sandy, this is great, and this is great for a little piece of writing that goes with the painting, and I can start with this." But I said, "When I get busy with creating the song, some of that's going to probably change. It's going to adjust. We're going to have to bring some more things in. I want to be true to your vision, but it's not going to be the same." And she said, "That's fine. I understand that." So we did back and forth a little bit on the lyrics, and on the feel of the song. But once I got it done, she was very, very positive about it. I also included, she is a podcaster too, by the way.
Oh, okay.
And she had done, she had, she had an episode of her podcast that had just a little clip of her mentioning when she got the news about her sister's murder from her father. I pulled that clip and I put it right at the beginning of the song, and then she and her daughter recorded something for the very end. So it begins with a little talking. We got the song, and then it ends with just a little bit of talking as well.
Well, let's give it a listen to right now, the Lakota Elder artist, right? Is that the right way of saying it? The Lakota Elder artist?
She likes to say she is a very specifically Ogallala Lakota Elder artist.
Ogallala Lakota artist, Sandy Swallow, with our guest today, Scott Simpson. And the song is called Sister Star, here on the Music of America podcast.
I remember getting the phone call from my dad. He told me what had happened to my sister. And from that time on, it's like, I don't know how to explain it, but a lack of trust that things were just going to be okay. Because I found out sometimes they aren't.
Tom came with Jackie, Sister Star, strong Lakota woman, that's who you are. May your name never be forgotten or lost. Tanke Wichakbi, Sister Star.
Mother, sister, daughter, gone too soon. Still shining bright. Strong indigenous woman.
Advise me on life, Mother Earth, Father Sky. Your lessons breathe the morning prayer. Tanke Wichakbi, Sister Star.
Mother, sister, daughter, gone too soon. Show your bruises, display your pain. You honor loved ones with a humble heart. Your path cut short, Sister Star. Mother, sister, daughter, gone too soon. Still shining bright. Strong indigenous woman, gone too soon.
On this darkest night, stars blaze in heaven, bright shining light. Tanke Wichakbi, Tanke Wichakbi, Tanke Wichakbi.
Mother, sister, daughter, gone too soon. Gone too soon.
shock me.
Sister Star.
Forget her name.
I have faith she's there in the stars.
Jue Wichokpi,
strong Lakota woman.
Scott Simpson, our guest here on the Music of America podcast with a special guest, Sandy Swallow. So growing up in St. Louis, the blues is such a strong influence in my life and has been my entire life. In fact, one of the logos we use here featuring the Alabama Serenaders from way back in the 30s, it's an old Dixieland jazz band. What's my grandfather pictured there right in the middle with his clarinet pointed up to the sky? Well, the Soulard Blues Festival in St. Louis really showcases that deep-rooted blues heritage. It's called the B3, like the B3 organ, the B3 Blues Festival in St. Louis. It's an outdoor concert festival held in the historic Soulard Market. Great blues acts and music, industry workshops. They partner up with the vendors in Soulard with food trucks and beer trucks and quirky little arts and craft vendors all on hand, family activities like face painting and more. And all the information is available for you right there about the B3 Blues Festival. You can find out more about it at SoulardB3Fest.com. So that's www.Soulard, which is spelled S-O-U-L-A-R-D, B3, B as in boy, 3, Fest. It's a lot to remember, so write it down. SoulardB3Fest.com. I'm an old blues guy. I mean, wearing my St. Louis Blues hockey hat while we're talking here with Scott Simpson on the Music of America podcast. And this next song is one of the most interesting song titles I think I've ever seen. And it's podunk kind of backwards sort of deal. And it's just so much fun. It's like a Loudon Wainwright, like a Loudon Wainwright song. He should have written a song with you.
Oh, great! Oh, that's a huge compliment. I appreciate that. Yeah, this one came from a very different place. So I mentioned earlier, Songfinch. I'm a Songfinch artist. I've been a Songfinch artist for about 2 years, which works well for me being kind of a in the studio guy.
Yeah.
Basically, this company. People come in and they say, I want to customize song for this person I care about for this occasion, for whatever. And so they go through and they answer a bunch of questions. On my end, I receive an opportunity. They say, hey, so-and-so wants a song. Here's all the stuff that they said. Can you do it? And I say, yes. When I say yes, that gives me 4 days to write the song, record the song, master, produce, and send it back to them, an MP3 version of the final song and just the background track in case they ever want to karaoke themselves doing it.
Let me understand this. So my dad passed away. And so I say, hey, at my dad's funeral, I would love to be able to play and sing a song for him. Here's who he is. He was born in 29 or 27, whatever, and he did this and he did this. And you take all that information. I guess there's a questionnaire that I fill out.
Mm-hmm.
That's so cool. And then
it's online.
That is. And what? It's called a sound.
It's called Songfinch.
Songfinch. Never heard of it.
Songfinch. Okay, you check it out. Songfinch.com, and I've got a page on there, but. I get stuff from all over the world once again. I had one, a woman from the UK whose father had just passed away, and she was literally asking me exactly for what you said. She said, we're celebrating his life here in about 2 weeks, and I really want a song. And so, and I've, you know, I read this stuff and I feel the weight of that. But my gosh, what a honor to be able to be invited into somebody's story to make a song. But anyway, this one was very different. Okay. So she was, it was from the wife, and she was really wanting to communicate something. I think it was for their anniversary. And, they had gotten together and their life had been a little stereotypical as far as being really backwoods and redneck and just kind of podunk. And these are some of the words that she was using. So she was giving me a lot of stuff. She also had selected me. I'm in the folk and singer-songwriter genres. Mm-hmm. And she kind of communicated she wanted this to be a little bluegrassy, a little folky, a little funny. And so, and she gave me a lot of good stuff to work with. Yeah. I mean, the way the song ends, they finally made it because he's like a manager at the quick stop and they're living in this house looking down into the valley at the Budweiser plant. Right. And that's like, they've made it now, you know? And so it was just a hilarious, hilarious concept. And I had so much fun with this, and I made it for them, and they loved it. And then I used it, as a songfish artist, you put like two or three of your songs on there for people to get a sense of what you do. Uh-huh. This one's up there, and I will tell you, most of the people who come to me for a song, huge percentage of them, have asked me because of this song. They heard this one and they said, oh my gosh, I got to have that for my dad, something like that. You know, so then it kind of sets up this situation where I'm thinking, okay, maybe that one kind of knocked it out of the park. Can I keep doing that for a completely different situation? You know, so anyway, but it's been great for me in honing my skills as a songwriter and also in the studio, getting it done and getting it right. In a really quick turnaround, you know.
4 days does not give you that's like forced writing, you know. 4 days, you got to write a song.
It is. It's fast, but it's been so good for me, I think. Yeah. I just, you know, because I think the thing that holds us back as songwriters is that being overly self-critical at the wrong stage. you get real critical right at the beginning and it shuts you down. I can't afford to do that. I got to just go with it, you know?
That's so clever. I've got a couple of buddies of mine that get together and they write songs. I'm going to suggest this to them that they at least explore Songfinch. That'd be really, really good for them. Well, it's a Songfinch song.
Yeah, let's check it out.
A Songfinch song by Scott Simpson called Podunk, kind of backwards sort of deal, where if they get a divorce, are they still going to be brother and sister or what, you know?
Well, we'll see.
We'll find out.
That's right.
That's funny. We're going to give it a listen here. Again, the song is called Podunk, Kind of Backwards Sort of Deal. Such a fun title. Scott Simpson, our guest, here on the Music of America podcast.
A librarian. In a matter of weeks, they eloped to Chattanooga, quite the contrarians. Both families were pissed about the hitching they missed, and they settled in Chinkapin. And the kind of life they was headed for just started a sinking in. It's a podunk kind of backwards sort of deal. Over 30 years of sweat and tears, they were smooth as cornmeal. Best check your breathalyzer. They got a view of none other than the ever-loving mother plant brewing. Yeah, brewing that Budweiser. I said they're looking down on that Budweiser plant. Smell that smell. Well, Joey's now in management at the local Quick Trip. And Lisa spends that money like she doesn't give a rip. They got a boy named Jay Stonewall. Got a girl.
Jacob and wagon wheel. They're living out a hillbilly dream. It's a bold, unkind and backwards sort of deal. For 30 years of sweat and tears, they were smoothest cornmeal. Now they're looking down. Best check your breathalyzer. They got a view of none other than the ever-loving mother plant brew and Budweiser. It's a bold, unkind and backwards sort of deal. For 30 years of sweat and tears, they were smoothest cornmeal. Now they're looking down. Best check your breathalyzer. They got a view of none other than the ever-loving mother plant brew and brewing that Budweiser.
Ho-dunk kind of backwards sort of deal. Scott Simpson here on the Music of America podcast. I'm your host, Tom Pollard. Years ago, I got into an accident at work where I ended up spending the entire month on my stomach while my back wounds were healing. I had scalded and severely burned my lower back. About 2 weeks into my healing, I realized I hadn't had a cigarette in 2 weeks. So that's how I quit smoking. Now, that method worked for me. I don't suggest it for anybody else. Thank goodness, though, there's a company called Laser Therapy South located just outside of Fort Lauderdale. Since 2003, Laser Therapy South has helped thousands of people all over the world stop smoking, reduce stress, alleviate chronic and acute pain. Laser Therapy South has developed their own unique approach to tackle both the physiological and the habitual components of addiction to help you achieve total success. Laser Therapy. It's an acupuncture-based treatment that originated in both Canada and Europe about 25 years ago. Your success is measured immediately. Laser therapy is instantaneous. Your treatment date is also your quit date. The laser is sort of a cold or rather therapeutic kind of laser. It doesn't produce heat. It doesn't cut tissue. In fact, most clients walk away feeling more like having had a massage after treatment. Laser Therapy South. www.lasertherapysouth.com. Go to the website. All of your questions will be answered there. Check them out if you want to quit smoking. LaserTherapySouth.com, where being a quitter is a good thing. And our guest is Scott Simpson, and I just have so much fun with that song and so much fun with song finching. Mm-hmm. I can't wait to share that with everybody and everybody. And we've got one more song, and it's so funny because I was on the break there. I was trying to remember something. And it just as quickly as thoughts come to me, they leave me because I'm 68 years old now. And mm-hmm. I don't remember what I had for lunch. I can probably tell you mm-hmm. who the producer or, you know, who sang in the Archies, you know, who the lead singer was in the Archies or what the original title of Yesterday was by the Beatles. I can think of that kind of stuff. But, you know, not 5 seconds ago.
It's certain things. Certain things that stick and other things just don't at all, you know.
The other night,
for me, it's names.
Names.
I have trouble hanging on to names of people, you know.
I had my own business, so. I was in sales, and so I would know everybody, and I'd be out of the grocery store and say, "Hey, Margaret, how you doing? Hey, John, how are you?" You know, now it's like, what's your name? I'm your son, Dad. I'm Aaron, mm-hmm. you know.
Don't. Yeah.
Well, it's really funny because I was playing cards with my brothers. We get together periodically every few months or few years or whatever. And it's just the brothers, just the four of us. We'll sit and we'll play hearts mm-hmm. for hours. But it's really not about playing hearts. It's about the fellowship and the brotherhood and just sharing stories and stuff. It's just so much fun. And one of the topics we got into segues right into your last song here. The song is mm-hmm. called This Growing Old. My brother and his wife have an agreement because we're all getting older. They have agreement that they can once a day say one old thing like, oh, my ankle just hurts or I can't remember something or whatever, you know, one of those things that remind us that we are getting older, and they can do it each once a day. And then that's it. And I think that's so funny. So we got talking about it and I brought up your song.
Yeah.
And I said, this guy just nails it with the song. So let's hear your take on the song.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that reminds me. I keep reminding, asking my wife every once in a while. Now, you are going to be willing to change my diapers at some point, right? And so that's kind of what I did. You know, anyway. I tell you what. Let's talk about the song. Okay. This song again. And you're going to think that I don't ever just sit down and write. I do sit down and write for no reason at all. But this came out of another activity that I engage in every year, and it happens every February, and it's called FAWM, FAWM, February Album Writing Month. And it's just a bunch of people around the world who challenge each other to write 14 songs during the month of February.
Wow.
So that's two songs per day,
yeah,
if you can do it. And there's like prompts that come out. All of that's beside the point. That's a cool thing you should check out. But the prompt had to do with body parts, and I had actually done a couple of body parts ones. And then what started was just the lyric, all I want is a shoulder to lean on.
Uh-huh.
And then I thought about a hand to hold and an ear to listen. And by the time I got that done, I started to think about, my town has a lot of retirement folks, and some of them are you know, folks who retire in their own homes and stuff, mm-hmm, like that, because there's a lot of healthcare stuff going on here. But some of them are all by themselves, and some of them are in assisted living homes, and some of them, and I know some who live for the visitor who's going to come, and they don't know who it's going to be. And sometimes they don't know who it is, even though they should know who they are, because they're getting forgetful. And so it really then, once I came onto that, it really it clicked in for me. And I just really was thinking, because I was thinking about my own aging, you know, becoming dependent, knowing that as I get older, all the people that I knew that I was friends with, there's less and less of them, because I can remember, oh yeah, so-and-so died 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. So-and-so died a year ago. So-and-so died 5 years ago. And that feeling of being left and just needing to have someone. So that really sparked, the creation of the song.
Yeah.
The other thing that really figured in musically, was, because once I started on this, I started thinking about who's done something like this before. One of my favorites, Neil Young. Old Man,
right?
So I was in that, and so I did a drop D tuning, which is kind of Neil Young does that a lot. He does that on Old Man, and then I started playing, and then that kind of all came together, and for me, and really. I work with a lot of elders. I was fortunate enough to have my grandfather live to be 102. And I was able to, wow, you know, go and have coffee with him, you know, go and have coffee with him till, yeah, you know, forever. And so I feel for those people who are aging and maybe don't know who's going to come to visit, you know, who are they going to have to lean on or to listen, you know?
Yeah. When my mom passed away, and I was living in Vermont, and she died suddenly, and all of a sudden my dad was left all alone, and dad's, you know, 7 years her senior, 6 years her senior, mm-hmm, and he was all of a sudden alone, and mom was always there fixing him breakfast, taking, so, you know, he was all alone. Yeah. So I tried to transfer to St. Louis. The closest I could get to here was Springfield, Missouri, but I could come, mm-hmm, here on Fridays, so I'd work out my route that my last job would be about an hour and a half away from St. Louis. So I'd wrap up my Friday, yeah, there, and I'd come in Friday, and I didn't have to be at work until 8 o'clock. I had to be in my territory. So I could get there, mm-hmm, in an hour and a half. I could leave at 6:30 in the morning and be in my territory by 8 o'clock and calling on clients, yeah, again. So I could come in and spend, mm-hmm, weekends with him, but it got tougher and tougher, mm-hmm, once he got hurt and went to a nursing home. Cause then you have, yeah, to work around, yeah, their time and their facility. Then
right.
Finally, we sold his house and just put him in there permanently, and that's when he kind of did his nosedive. It's kind of like he missed,
yeah,
my mom and missed his wife, and it was just a really very tender and touching moment, you know, when he passed. I brought that up twice today. Yeah. I got to go talk to my shrink about this now. I brought my dad up twice today.
Yeah.
Well, it's a really neat song, well, Scott. And then the imagery that you get from this is exact to me. It's the same imagery I get from listening to Old Man. And when you brought that up, that was something I wanted to bring up. So thank you. Mm. Let's give it a listen.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
Scott Simpson and the song This Growing Old here on the Music of America podcast.
All I want is a shoulder to lean on. All I need is a hand to hold. All I want is an ear just to listen. And maybe I can live with this growing old. And maybe I can live with this growing. Is a bed and four corners, and my shoes on a closet floor. This window looks out on the alley. Wonder who might be coming next to my door. Of these days, except for that one, I should say.
Song called This Growing Old, and our guest today is Scott Simpson here on the Music of America podcast from Spearfish, South Dakota. Where is Spearfish, South Dakota?
Spearfish is on the north.
Yeah, in reference to Mount Rushmore, because that's everybody's landmark in South Dakota, right?
Oh, sure. Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Yeah. Rushmore is right kind of in the middle of the Black Hills. Uh-huh. And we are around up on the top end, on the north end of the Black Hills. We're about an hour drive from Rushmore.
Okay.
It's just absolutely beautiful. And yeah. And I happen to live in the most beautiful part. Spearfish Canyon is just outside of the city of Spearfish. And that's where my house and my studio is, right in the canyon. And it's just, absolutely lovely.
My daughter and son-in-law sold all their worldly possessions years ago, bought a van, converted it into a minivan home, a small home. Mm-hmm. And they called it, they were nomads, and John is really into gnomes. So they started this thing called Nomad Home with a G. And it has exploded, and it's it's one of the top three or top five go-to sites for people that want to live and convert their school bus or their rail car, whatever, into a home. And that's what they did. Mm-hmm. And South Dakota is one of the states they almost settled in. They ended up buying about 40 acres down in New Mexico, had a baby, sold everything again, and moved back here to Missouri. So Pawpaw gets his grandson. So anyway,
there you go.
Right. So, Scott, this is the segment of the show where I get to shut up, basically. We call this Shameless Self-Promotion. This is where you tell us how we can have access to all your 40 million songs or whatever, how we can help
Absolutely. Well, the first and best place to go is scottsimpsonmusic.com. That's my website, scottsimpsonmusic.com. I've got links to everything there. I have about, like you said, I've got about 40 albums out, and always projects in the works. You can also go find me on, we talked about Songfinch. Go to their website and look for artist Scott Simpson. You can have me write you a song. I'd love to do that. Tell me your story. I'll write your song. That's lots of fun. That's pretty much anywhere, any of your streaming platforms, Spotify or Apple Music or anything else, just look for artist Scott Simpson. I'm there.
We're just kicking off the month of April, so what do we got coming up this summer? Do you play out? Do you do shows? You don't, do you?
You know, I don't do a lot. I do a little. There's a fundraising contest that I'm going to jump into because it's for a good cause. Uh-huh. And so I'm gonna do that, and that's coming up eventually. I think in April sometime. My day job keeps me pretty busy. Yeah. I do a lot of traveling, but I always try to take the guitar along. So in the hotel room, late at night. Do a little bit of songwriting.
Very cool. Well, Scott, I think we could do this for 4 hours. I think you and I could really do it.
Yeah. It'd be fun. Except for the fact that we're both getting so old.
That's right. Thank goodness for that, because then I lost my timer. I forgot how to use a timer. See? Scott, it's been a real pleasure, and thank you again for coming on our show. Scott Simpson wraps up South Dakota for us, and up next, we're headed to the volunteer state of Tennessee here on the Music of America podcast.
You've been listening to the Music of America podcast. If you like today's show, please go to the website at www.musicofamericapod.com or our Music of America podcast Facebook page. Like us and follow the show and episodes. We tally the votes of all our shows, and the most listened to shows will be rebroadcast on our best of shows at the end of the season. I look forward to having you with us again and listening to the Music of America.